Welcome back to Cargumentative, a show where, once again, three out of four men join you in the studio to talk about cars and everything else automotive. I'm your host, Thomas Faulkner from the Sunday Times, and as usual, I'm joined by my reliable guests,
Mark Polito
and Nadav Ravid.
Gents, how are you doing?
Fine. Where's Mike?
Good question. Where is Mike? Drinking? Partying?
The security riveling? Last time.
Yeah.
Time before that was CrossFit.
Yeah,
CrossFit World Championships, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And the time before that, I think he's studying to be a rabbi.
Is he?
Something
is he?
Like that.
Okay. So tonight, it's a wedding?
Is tonight, he growing those curly bits down his face?
He is. And tonight, I think he is the rabbi at the wedding.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay. Is really? He presiding?
Presiding.
Presiding.
Really? Rabbi presiding, Mike. Shame. I feel like we rag Mark a lot.
Well, he rags.
He's not here to defend himself.
Yeah. You know, he's got this like boyish, innocent enthusiasm, and we just take and we crush it like a rock.
It's fine. He's laughing at us right now. He's probably telling people about how I like Priuses and laughing.
Yeah. Look, I know this guy Thomas. He likes Priuses.
Anyway.
No, you know what he's? I think today. Yes. I think he's driving around parking lots with his doors up. He's just practicing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Dear.
It's time for news, and there was quite a bit of stuff happening.
Tell us. What is it? I can't remember.
Well, the big
Please
news.
Please don't. Oh, God.
Here we go.
What is it?
I know.
The turbocharged car that's not turbo. The Porsche Taycan.
Not Taycan.
Am I saying it right?
No.
Taycan.
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 But it's A-Y. T-A-Y.
Yeah.
Taycan. But it's Turkish, so
is it?
It's a Turkish horse or something.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. A stud horse or a show horse or what kind of?
Yeah,
wild
breeding.
Horse.
Stud.
Breeding horse.
Stud. Wild horse.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so it's the Taycan.
It's a long, it's a long-awaited electric four-door sports car from Porsche.
So where do they put the turbo?
There is no turbo. But Porsche thought it would be logical.
Does Porsche know what a turbo
and
is?
And easy to understand for their customer base that you have this car and you call it turbo and turbo S. So
does turbo,
fast,
does turbo mean fast?
It just goes to show that Porsche doesn't understand everything.
So what you're saying is that they should have had
Taycan S.
Taycan and Taycan S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a Taycan R.
Taycan S Plus.
Or RS.
Yeah.
Well, when they bring out the GT2 RS.
Well, the Taycan
GT2
RS. That's going to be awesome. But silly naming aside, actually looks pretty cool, I think.
Does
what
it?
Do you guys think? Yeah, I mean, electric cars are basically just appliances.
Mm.
You keep them for 3 years, 5 years, trade
batteries
them in.
Batteries run out.
The battery pack to buy a new one is more than the cost of the car.
A cajillion.
So you basically just throw it away and
but
recycle.
But in terms of electric cars, it's good looking.
I think
it's a reasonable looking thing. Someone posted, I posted on our group this evening, the comparison of the Mission E and the production Taycan.
Pretty similar.
Yeah.
They are quite similar. It has lost something in translation, unfortunately.
We've seen the Mission E.
We saw the Mission E in the
Stuttgart.
Metal. And it was actually quite a good looking thing.
I think so.
What stands out about it for me is that, you know, that there's no point in bringing out a car that's, you know, matches Tesla. You know, Tesla's probably the most advanced in this game, and there's no point. And
no,
it wasn't
I think
clear.
It's more advanced.
Yeah, so it wasn't clear what they were. You know, there were so many like leaks and press shots and.
Oh, it was endless.
Endless, and now we know. So now we know, and they have moved the game on.
Big
there's
time.
No question in certain specific ways. One being the voltage of the car.
Well, the Tesla has got, I think the most they have is 375 volt.
This
and
is
the
an
Porsche
800
is 800, which is good for performance and also charging time.
It's good for performance. And the other thing is the gearbox.
You lost me at voltage.
I find the gearbox interesting.
Oh, it's got two-speed
gearbox, which is I think is an interesting move. It gives you both performance and economy. So...
It's not, in it other manages words, to do that with a smaller motor, which keeps cooling down.
So the bottom line is you've got a car that'll do 450 Ks. If you throw everything else out the window, here's a car that you don't really have to worry about refueling anymore. It does the same as a normal petrol car.
Are we going to get them in South Africa?
Yes.
Are we?
Second half of 2020.
What?
Yes.
How are they going to recharge
them? Infrastructure?
They are going to be putting in infrastructure.
But Eskom doesn't make any...
No, but Porsche's. I know, but Porsche's going to go out there and put stuff in, whether or not they'll be connected. It's anyone's guess. But it is coming here.
So there'll be a charging station at Porsche.
They're going to have
and at Sandton City, and that's it.
Strategic locations. But what's also cool, it can be charged up in 22 minutes. It can get up to 80% charge.
If it's charged with how many?
With the optimal charging setup.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And the performance is really good. So the Turbo is 500 kilowatts. The Turbo S is 560 kilowatts.
Crazy.
The Turbo S will do 0 to 100 in 2.8 seconds, which is as fast as that new Lamborghini. And it'll do, both models will do 260
k's. Yeah. No, it's fast. It's
a lot of cars.
Said before, we covered it last week when you weren't here, Thomas, that it was actually handles very well.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And you know what's amazing is how much we're learning, how quickly we're learning about a completely new kind of vehicle technology. We're using terms that we didn't know.
So one thing that Porsche has also added, just like a final point on this car, is the sound. So they've got a sound that's linked to how much you depress the accelerator. It changes the sound that comes through the speakers.
Can you customize that sound to sound like a 356 or a 550 Spider or a horse, a stud horse?
So they got that. So it's related to speed and accelerator position. Which load, kind of thing. So I think they're trying to give it character.
Okay.
Trying to build in some character. Cool. Which is interesting.
Yeah. We shall see.
They got to do something.
I look forward to driving that, actually.
Will you tell us if you get it, so we can also drive it, or will you be selfish
about it?
It'll
probably be overseas.
Unless
you can fold up into my Thule bag.
We'll make a plan.
From one electric car to another, Tesla Model 3.
This is becoming like an electric car.
It's gone vegan. So you can now live
vegan
in LA,
seats.
Be a vegan, and drive a vegan car. No leather. Everything else is like ethically sourced. Which is amazing.
Really?
Nadav would like that.
Yeah, me.
Nissan GTR. you guys.
Yeah, we like them.
You like them.
Run out model or something.
The GTR 50th anniversary edition.
Mm. Have they been making it for that long?
Yeah. 2.4. Well, I mean, the current GTR has been around for, seems like,
45 years.
What is it, insane. Actually? Was it 2006?
It was a long time.
It's a very long time.
It is a very long time.
But listen, it's a brilliant car.
Still going. This one, 2.4 million. Apparently, it's the most comfortable one. Yeah.
I remember those cars started, I think, at a million.
1.3. Yeah, and then they crept up.
They crept up big time.
So that's in Joburg. 410 kilowatts.
That's available now.
Yeah. 2.9 seconds, 0 to 100, they're claiming. And limited to 300 k's an hour.
It's a fast car. Yeah.
It's a fast car. From one Nissan to another Nissan. The new Nissan Juke. Have you guys seen photographs of it?
Please.
I think I have.
It's actually quite nice.
Is it?
Yeah. The old one was very fugly. It was a fugly car.
Oh, I haven't seen the new one. Is it
new
better
one
looking?
Cool. Hang on. I will find you a photograph because
you should have the stuff ready.
We should have a big screen TV next to our air conditioner.
Next to the Red Bull fridge. You know. Next to the masseuse.
Yeah, we're getting some fancy guests on this show. We better start, you know.
We are getting
some
very fancy guests.
Yeah, we are.
Find you a photograph.
Definitely after. No,
here we go.
I mean, I think
think it looks quite pleasant.
Can you see?
Can you see?
It's still got headlights
and
that aren't really
nice.
Headlights.
The back looks good.
Which ones are the headlights? Go to the front again.
Those.
Okay.
It's an improvement.
Yeah.
Looks like an X-Trail.
It's got more space.
It looks like that the Honda one. Not the Honda one, the Toyota one.
Yeah, the CHR.
There, whatever.
Yeah. Same.
That's kind of the... I mean, then they compete, don't they?
Aren't Nissan, Toyota, and Mazda and all of them made in one factory?
Some of them are, some of them aren't.
Okay, let's talk about something else.
Honda E. You like the Honda E?
Honda E makes sense.
Honda leaked pictures of their own car before the Frankfurt show when it was supposed to be unveiled.
Okay.
And it looks like,
is that the first time a Honda's ever leaked?
I think so.
Oh,
good one.
Thank you.
And it looks pretty much the same as the concept pics.
That's awesome.
And
they drive it up the hill at Goodwood, though. I don't know.
People have already been driving that.
Yeah. No. But that wasn't the final production.
Oh, wasn't it?
No.
Okay.
So that was cool. That's a cool little thing.
It is a cool thing. Yeah. It comes with...
will that come to South Africa?
No. And if it does, it'll be very expensive.
I know they're trying to change something in our legislation. Because I think someone tweeted Elon Musk asking when Tesla will be coming to South Africa. And he said it's too expensive tax-wise to get it here.
Yeah.
So there needs to be kind of a...
I mean, it's supposed to be a cheap, affordable... Well, not cheap, but an affordable electric city car. But by the time it gets here, it's been...
It can't be charged in the same way as a normal
car. It's been horse-studded in terms of tax.
Yep.
It's just...
Have a look at the Honda E. Google it, because it's a really cool-looking thing. It's an homage to the original Civic. So in other words, almost retro, but it's retro futuristic. It's a really cool looking thing.
It is. And it comes with two engines. You get 100 kilowatt, 113.
Right.
The latter is a range of 220 km.
Is that our electric segment done?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right.
Well, kind
honestly,
of.
Honestly, it's been
There's more.
There's more.
No,
Lamborghini.
We'll allow this.
How do you say this? Is it Cyan? Sean?
I've avoided
Sean. Sean.
Is it Siobhan? From four?
Sean Butt. Sean Butt. So I've avoided reading anything about this car because it just blurs.
Why does it look so crap?
Because all Lamborghinis look the same. So
a supercapacitor or something.
It's a V12 hybrid. Okay. And it has a supercapacitor as opposed to a normal lithium ion battery pack, which gives you 10 times more power.
But a short burst of it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the most powerful Lambo ever made, and also the Lambo with the best power to weight ratio of all time. 350 km/h is the top speed, and it'll do 0 to 100 in 2.8. So the same speed as a Taycan.
The most important question.
0 to 100.
I'm going to ask it on behalf of Mark. Is do the doors go up?
Oh, good question. Are there any pictures?
Good question. Yeah, but they're all closed. So
I think I saw one of it.
In this day and age, when a Chiron does 480, I mean, is 350 so much of a big deal?
No, it's not really.
Come on, Lambo. Try
63
harder.
are being made, and they've all been accounted for.
Obviously.
Of course they have.
Mike can't get one.
Maybe he's got one.
Maybe he has. Maybe
that's what he's test driving tonight.
Yeah.
We all saw the Bugatti Chiron Supersport at 490.
Yeah, we saw that.
Yeah.
Did our listeners see that? 300 miles an hour.
Did we talk about it last week?
We always have to do stuff in miles and
because
horsepower.
Because 480 is kind of a nowhere number.
It's amazing.
300 is a round number. 300 mph.
What an amazing thing.
It is amazing.
It's like 500 k's an hour in a car.
It's like,
on road tires.
Yeah.
Road
it can almost
fuel.
Keep
that's
up
amazing.
With an airliner. So if you had a very long road from here to Cape Town and the airliner took off and you go flat out the whole way, you'd probably only arrive in Cape Town like an hour.
No, you wouldn't, because of how much time it takes to load the luggage and
that's true, actually.
The pilot has to wake himself up. And
we need budget for this. We need to build a road and we need
this.
To get a Chiron Supersport.
We need to straighten the N1.
It'll be the best podcast in history.
But the story is that at full chat, that thing empties its tank in 4 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
But to be fair, you've gone quite far.
Yes, you have.
Can you just get on this in-flight
300 miles an hour, Thomas?
Amazing,
That's too
many. How many horsepowers is it?
1,500 horsepowers.
It's a lot. Because the original Baron was 1,001.
Something kilowatts.
It's a lot.
Amazing.
Finally.
More.
The French.
Yes.
They're pretty good nanny state.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're working on a noise radar, which they're installing in town. Well, in Paris, which is a very big town. But anyway, if you have
a
loud motorbike that goes past it, it'll then
shoot you.
It'll then fine you. So it's like getting a speeding fine, but for too much noise. So if you put a Dansk exhaust on your Porsche,
can I say
it sounds like a monster truck in the middle of the night?
No, can I say that I'm all for that? Because
why?
Well, it depends what.
I live in an area, I don't know why I pick up on this, but you can always hear the pizza delivery guy whose exhaust has fallen off at like midnight.
You're right, and his brakes always squeak as
his
well.
His brakes squeak, but it also takes him half a day to get past my house. 4 days by camel, anyway.
But it's certain noises that are irritating. That city din. I mean, I understand the theory behind what they're trying to do. You know, there's that just din. If you stand in the city and
so
it's
much
like
noise.
White noise. Certain things, if you can remove them or reduce them, and you know, if a car is faulty and producing the wrong noise, too much noise, I understand that. But if that's going to be applied as a blanket,
no,
decibel,
it can't be. So all Porsche GT cars and Ferrari should be exempt
because it's a nice noise.
Because it's a
nice
noise.
It's a
nice
noise. Ferraris aren't such a nice noise.
Someone who puts like
all pre-turbo Ferraris.
Who puts a shitty free-flow exhaust on his old Opel Corsa GSI.
Exactly, that guy.
That guy should
That's
get
the
fine.
Guy who needs to get fine. Dragged outside and shot.
Maybe we should review the images and say, that's a violation.
That's great. I want that job. We want that job.
We do.
Guys, that's all we have time for news. We're going to take a quick break. That's and when we come back, we're going to be speaking to a very special guest with a very special car.
Fabulous.
Guns, an essential tool in self-protection or a catalyst for criminality. CliffCentral.com presents Guncast, a podcast that unpacks the divisive issue of gun ownership in South Africa. Join legal expert Martin Hood as he hosts a series of talks with both sides of the gun lobby. Whether you support the right to carry guns or you believe they're a destructive tool that society could do without, Guncast will enlighten and challenge you in equal measure. Find Guncast now on the Cliff Central app, on CliffCentral.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Cargumentative. Guys, we've got a special gentleman joining us in the studio, Vic Kampfer. Thank you so much for coming out tonight and joining us here.
What a pleasure. Thanks for the invite. Nice to be here.
Absolutely. So, Vic...
Vic is like... This show is kind of like Ellen or Oprah. You know, when they have the Oscars and they have the winner come onto their show first?
Isn't that just the Oscars?
No, that's like us. We've got the winner, of the South African concourse, and now he's on our show.
We have an exclusive.
We do.
Have an exclusive. Yeah, this is a big deal for us.
We were at the concourse last week.
We were.
And this week, we're going to chat to Vic, who was the winner.
He cleaned up.
In his fantastic Dino.
So
it's
what
not
is
a Ferrari
it?
Dino. I was about to say that. And that's like a
So Vic can actually tell us what it is.
And there's also another event to follow, which is the Durban Concours d'Elegance.
Oh.
About a month ago, which where the Dino also was best of show.
Nice. Okay, so it's a double whammy.
It's a double concourse one.
So, but Vic, do we call it a Ferrari Dino or a Dino?
Okay, so the car is supposed to be a Dino. There's no Ferrari badges on the cars. So in the 70s, a lot of them got dressed up with Ferrari badges and
I've
80s.
Seen that, yeah.
But Enzo said at the time, no V12, no Ferrari badge.
Really?
So it wasn't big enough.
This
wasn't
predates the V8 as well.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And so the Dino is a Pininfarina design, so it's more of the rounded shape. That came the V8 Dino. And the early ones were also called Dinos, and thereafter they were called the 308s.
GT4s.
So
what was the point of the Dino? I mean, was it like an entry-level car? Was it for somebody who wanted a Ferrari but didn't quite have enough cash, and then the Dino came along and you could buy yourself a Dino? I mean, is that how it worked?
That's a good question, actually.
So the Dino was produced alongside the Daytona.
Ah, okay.
And the GTC and the run out of the Queen Mary with the 365 2+2.
Ah. Yeah, so all V12 Columbos, yeah.
Yeah, and the engines were shared by Fiat and Ferrari. So Dino was the engineer, Enzo's son.
Yeah.
Look, he died at 24. And he developed the V6. And they developed those V6 for the shark nose Formula One cars from the 60s, if you remember them.
Yes.
And they ran with a V6. So that's where the engine comes from, the V6. And in the Dino, of course, they fitted the first car. They had the engine transversely behind the driver. So that was like the first mid-mount Ferrari.
And what year did they first come out in?
68.
Okay.
Yeah, 68 was the first Dino.
Yeah.
Which was called the Dino 246. So those would have been a 206, a 2 liter.
Yeah.
6-cylinder aluminium bodied.
Okay. All right.
And the later cars like ours 246 steel bodied 2.4 liter 6-cylinder.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's
wow.
So interesting, this motor, so you said it was a development in conjunction with Fiat, so it was using the Fiat Dino, is it called what is it called?
Yeah, it had a couple of cars, the Fiat Coupe.
Okay, yeah.
And then they had the Fiat Dino Spider.
That's it.
Or the Fiat Spider, that's a beautiful car, if you've seen that.
I have, and then also famously in the Lancia Stratos.
That was the ultimate car, and they also had a 24-valve version of the same engine.
Oh.
That did duty in the Lancia Stratos.
Yes, okay. Yeah. So it had lots of racing pedigree in that car.
Yeah, so the Lancia Stratos basically a similar frame to the Dino, but that
shorter,
even a shorter wheelbase.
Yeah, okay.
Magnificent car.
Magnificent. Yeah. We've got none of those in South Africa, eh? No.
No, I've never seen one.
Stratos.
Only one I've seen.
Thick. There's still time. Let's get one of those in
Look, a friend of mine's got one.
Of course he does.
In Australia. He's got a right-hand drive. That
really?
One and only right-hand drive.
Oh, you showed me the photos. Yeah.
Wow.
It's built for the RAC Rally. So
special.
Sean's got that car. And Sean was also the advisor on this Dino project.
Oh, in your project?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into that project.
I mean, I was going to ask you, I mean, where did you source this car from? Because it's not the kind of thing you just go onto, you know, Google and end up buying from a dealership somewhere.
Auto Trader.
Okay. So this car, I've got a long and rich history in South Africa. And it actually came from virtually a block from St. John's School. I mean, a guy, Fabrizio Genovese. And he had the car. He's the neighbor to Giorgio Cavalieri and the Cavalieris.
Okay. So Cavalieri is the president of the Ferrari Club in South Africa.
Yes, the chairman, yeah.
Yeah, chairman.
And so Giorgio's dad had this car. I mean, I've got pictures where he is washing the car as a young man and using the car, and I've got pictures where the rev count is flat and the speedo is flat. It's flat out
really?
As fast as they can go.
Oh, awesome. How fast can I go, actually?
I think the official top speed is 242.
Oh, that's fast.
Quick, huh? 71, yeah.
Yeah.
Quick.
And I've had it over 200. So
I'm sure.
There's no problem.
Sure.
So we got the car from him, and he kind of used the car as a daily as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so
we
like the daily
that.
Use. And at that sum, it wasn't perfect, but it was a good car. And it made a lovely noise, and it ran beautifully.
Was it the original color?
It was Dino Rosso when I bought it.
Okay.
Okay, when we bought it, it was Dino Rosso. Before that, it was red with Ferrari badges.
Okay.
And then it had a full resto with Piero, I think, around 2004.
Okay.
And it was restored in
2004.
Yes,
by Piero. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
And who we said he lost.
Yeah, Piero recently. Yeah.
And so when we got it, it had some dents on the sides, and you know it was running nicely. I remember going home. I nearly didn't make it because the clutch was slipping.
Okay.
But there was a simple adjustment, and the car was running nicely, and I liked the car a lot because it was really usable, you know.
It wasn't perfect.
It wasn't perfect, but you could drive it, you could use it, you could park it, you know. Yeah. So it's good to keep a car like that sometimes.
Yeah.
So then begs the question.
Yeah, so like so basically went from like a nice usable car, and then you decided, right, I'm going to just take it up a whole another level.
Yeah, so
and make it concourse.
I didn't decide that.
Oh, okay.
That was something that just happened, but I'll tell you the story. Mm. So my friend Carlos, I don't know if you've met him, Carlos de Abreu. He won the first concourse with his Pantera.
So
he founded a group five, or not the racing one, the Pantera GTS.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
The one with the body kit on the later one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They found a car in a container, complete in Botswana, that had been parked in that container for years.
Really?
And they bought it off the estate. So Carlos
That's
got
a
the
great
car.
Story.
And he got this amazing car that was just complete and original. Nothing had been changed. It's amazing. I think it's called the 5000S, the latest one. Mm.
Yeah.
And so Carlos did this restoration, which won the first Concours when it was
at Sun City.
City.
Yeah.
And from there it started. So I think Carlos, I asked him, listen, take the Dino, we put it in a trailer, take it to Botswana, and we didn't even export the car properly. You know, if you're going to do work on a car in a different country, you have to export it, and you get the VAT clearance, and you can claim the VAT on the repairs and all that. So we lost a bit of money there. But he took it over, and I said, just do the little dents on the sides.
Okay.
And line up the doors a little bit. And we said to him, okay, and there's an oil leak that I couldn't find. I said, just have a look and see if you can sort the oil leak out, because he's one of those old hands-on craftsmen, you know.
Yeah.
He's a proper car guy, you know.
And a poorer.
Yeah, he knows. So Carlos phones me and he says, now Vic, you must come and look at this car. So I was in the Kalahari Game Reserve, and I thought, okay, well, let's take a trip up there, and which was also a mistake. It's much further than what I thought it was to go from there to get through Botswana. But anyway, I arrived there just to find the car in boxes. I mean, it was just a frame.
Okay.
There was nothing, just a frame, and boxes and parts everywhere.
And you said I sent it to remove some dents.
Yeah. I was so murach. It was unbelievable. I didn't talk to him for a month. I was so cross.
Unbelievable.
That sounds amazing. Okay.
So you like stripped the car and you said, I'm going to find something wrong, you know. And he stripped it all the way down. What we found, the only thing you could find wrong there was on the sills, there was a bit of rust on the inside of the door sills. And that was, you can see it was something that was replaced before.
Okay.
And on the one A-pillar, there was a bit of a mark. And there was a small accident repair on the front, but very slight. So that was it. So now we're in for it now. So
you're in it, John.
Yeah, so we had to do it properly. So, so we just started with the frame. We sanded it down completely.
Okay.
And we got it hand sanded, and it was just all the way down to the steel.
Wow.
And then, of course, you know, old steel is not as good as new car steel. The steel isn't treated in the way that we got it now. So you have to epoxy it and then do the 2K primer.
Okay.
And then get it absolutely smooth. And this is where you see the car now. When you guys have a look at this morning, you see those lines are just absolutely perfect. The body, the doors, the fits, the gaps.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of time spent to get this car absolutely perfect.
It all starts
perfect.
With getting the frame right to start and all that. But I suppose it's a slippery slope. So once you start with the frame, I mean, you're going to do everything. Every nut and bolt and rubber and everything.
Every nut has been coated and galvanized. Every bolt, every clip, every bush is new. Every pipe is new. We even had to find the right original hose clamps, the right hooters, the right relays.
Wow.
A lot of research goes into that. And so we brought, early on the project, we brought Sean Brennan and he's friends with Matthias Butz. The German guy that wrote the Dino Compendium, so he could help us a lot because he'd just done an M-Series.
Okay.
So
that book just now. That's, I mean, there's a hell of a lot of detail in that book.
It's 800 pages of detail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we could get the car correct. The interior was done in Italy for us by a firm called Luti, and they do the Classic interior, so that came as a kit which we had to fit locally. And Carlos, he was just obsessed with this motor car.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he stopped working for a year, and all he did was the dealer. And every day there was progress and photos and excitement. And,
really?
And then we had problems with stuff that you can't get or parts. We try to have everything ready before we started.
So how long did the whole process take?
The whole process was about 2 years.
From when you sent him the car to getting it back.
Yeah, but once we started assembling, it was quick.
Okay.
So he's got an assembly room, which is just, I can show you photos, just like a...
bolting everything
just
together.
Like a clinical, clean assembly room, all your bolts, everything, what you're going to do today, there it's laid out properly.
Oh, that's like
that's what you're going to do. And, so the car, once we started assembling it, things happened quite fast, you know. So the engine was done completely, so... The engine, the car ran so nicely before we knew we didn't have to balance or anything like that. So just new clutch, new internals, reconditioned, redo the heads and all of that.
Okay.
And she's still running fine.
Yeah. Not even run in yet.
No, not even run in yet. So.
And in terms of like parts availability, I mean, because we come from Porsche background and like they've got a really good classic support system. I mean, is it a similar thing on the Ferrari side of the fence, or
I think it's
harder to get?
I think if you compare a 911 and a 911, you can virtually purchase everything you want for the car.
Mm.
You can decide on the theme, how you want it, how you're going to have it done, you know, what type of suspension, what do you want to use the car for. But on the Dino, it's a lot more difficult. So the M Series only produced for 9 months, so there were fewer cars. And it had different, like it's got chrome and matte together. Mm. On the wipers is matte, the quarter vents are matte, the rest is chrome.
Yeah, I saw that.
Also, when you strip the car, so it's got its job number, you know, this car's build number was 185. It's stamped everywhere, inside the beadings, inside doors, on every component. So you could track that.
Wow.
To get all the parts together was a bit difficult. Some parts came from Russia. Which is the petrol cap, because we had to find that off a specific Lada.
So oh, called Lada.
Lada. Okay, sorry.
Well, Lada comes from Fiat, the same thing. Yeah.
So with that look, with the silver cap on the galvanized cap on the top.
And, amazing story.
Other stuff, Canada.
Yeah.
That one firm in the UK is very good, Super Performance.
Yes.
No, they were excellent. They're probably your best supplier, and some other engineering firms we got parts from. Suspensions parts, new discs were done, the calipers were redone.
Yeah.
Everything was done in the right color and a lot of the stuff re-galvanized. So, you know, we took a lot of time about making sure everything is...
Yeah, you can see it.
...as it was. And we get back to Concours. I mean, that's what they look for. They try and find the car that's the closest as to what it was when we left the showroom.
Mm. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, it looks so close to show. I mean, it's like climbing into a time machine and going back. I mean, you know, when you pop
you look
the hood,
at the gauges and all
and the
of
gauges
them.
And the fuse boxes and the details. Brand new. And it's, yeah, it's
how
phenomenal.
Many Dinos are there in the country, do you know?
Okay, so according to the Compendium, only 6 came to South Africa officially.
Only 6 officially?
Only 6, yeah. Hmm. How many are here now? I don't know. It's probably about 10, maybe 12.
Well, it's good that we got more than officially came.
Yeah, a lot more came in later. And a lot were imported after they were delivered in the market that they were meant for. But our car was specifically manufactured and shipped to TAK, and we still got the documents.
That's cool.
So we got the invoices.
There was a time when a Dino was, I mean, so we've spoken about how it was the entry-level Ferrari, and there was a time where these things weren't loved.
They were unloved, yeah.
Yeah, they weren't like, and over the last couple of years, they've just become the Ferrari. Well, the Dino. But the
it's
Ferrari
kind of cool
to have.
Because they're not Ferrari, but they are, but they're not. You know, yeah. It kind of has that strange contradiction.
But they are so sought after now. They're so valuable now.
Yeah, and they're nice to drive.
Yeah.
You know, it's really a nice car to drive. And when you drive it, it's got all the ingredients. It makes the right noise. It looks right. It handles good. It stops well. You know?
I think one day you're going to have to take us down a road that's very quiet. And
yeah.
Take it for a spin.
Yeah.
But look, it was a 911 competitor at the time. Yeah.
We're running out of time.
No, Dan wants to talk.
There's one last question.
One last question.
One last question.
I've got so many things to say.
No, but you just have to choose the best one.
All right. Well, but I have two, and they're kind of related.
All right.
Small ones.
Okay.
Number one, Vic, do you think your car is now better than factory? Because we were talking about this, you know, cars came out of the factory in the 60s and 70s. They were not perfect, you know. I wonder if, how do you think your car compares?
I think it's much better than factory.
Yeah
there's no, if you look at the fit of the doors and, you know, and
because they were all handmade.
Yeah, and we know a lot more now.
Yeah, we do.
And a lot of the components that we're getting for the cars are much better quality than they were back then.
Yeah.
So, for instance, the internals in the motor, it'll last a lot longer and probably produce a bit more power.
Okay. And the paint quality and the way you prepped it and all that kind of stuff also.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. The quality of the... And we painted the car in base coat. There's no clear coat on it.
Yeah.
So it's a base coat, so it'll
go... the way they did it.
And maybe that was a mistake, but it was done to be completely original as it was, so...
Listen, I've made that mistake too. It does. It fades, it scratches, but
it's
that's enough.
Yeah. It's a lot of the time, it's not skills that were not available at the time. It's just... they weren't appropriate for the car, you know. They weren't. Nobody was going to take that long making effectively mass production sports car absolutely perfect.
No,
But we now value them so much and they're so rare that we're inclined to take the time. Mm. So that brings me to the second quick question, which was, you said it's a controversial answer. What about Ferrari Classico approval?
Okay, so I think that I'm not sure. You know, I haven't had a car ever certified myself. But, you know, you can have a classic certified, and it will, of course, help. But, I mean, I've seen another car in another competition that was certified, and a lot of the parts in the car was wrong.
Really?
It had the wrong wheels, it had the wrong tires, it had the wrong exhaust, it had the wrong badge on. And
that's interesting.
So then the judges probably don't have the knowledge to know, or they didn't look into that specifically because you know, you accept it on face value.
Mm.
So I think that's what happens with a lot of this, is that there's one car that's right and another car that goes through by using components from another car, and then it just gets swapped back. So I think there's a lot of certification, you know, you need to recheck it again. So
that's very interesting. I mean, it's very controversial.
Mm.
Because a lot of, I mean, internationally, there's a lot of emphasis put on that certificate and a lot of value. And, Yeah, I mean, look, not to say that all of them are probably like that. Or
yeah, that's not. I think if you've got a really older car,
yeah,
so something that's really rare and really valuable, if you're talking like a 250 GT or a car like that, where you, it's a very valuable car,
yeah,
but there's a lot of copies around and a lot of tool room copies, which is just like perfect, you know. Yeah. So I mean, Classic should also take, for instance, samples of the steel in the chassis and all of that type
and
of stuff,
date
and analyze it and date it and make sure it's correct.
Yeah.
So I think in those cases, if you want to determine that you're actually buying the real McCoy,
yeah,
then it's important and it can work. On the Dino, I think if somebody wants it done, if somebody wants to buy the car one day and they want it done, then I'll consider it then, because I know what I got, I know what the car is, I know it's correct.
Mm-hmm. You're going to get it anyway.
What's the point?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that. So, and you probably, I mean, you've got that, what do you call that book that you've, I mean, there's so much detail in there.
Yeah, and we know the car's history going back to virtually brand new, so I don't see the point of that. But, so,
that's convincing.
I think so as well. And look, I think you're right on the 250s, like race cars, where there was a lot of engine swapping and panel swapping and chassis swapping. That's the kind of stuff they need to, like. And they've just actually released something about it on the 250s that they're going to be finding and crushing all the fake GTOs.
So, or 250s. So I don't know if we've got time, but Ferrari said that they have now declared the 250 GTO as a piece of art.
That's
been declared an art, okay? Yes. Piece of art. So it
can't be.
That's it. It's
can't
art.
Be replicated, yeah.
So there's copyright on art.
Okay. That's
and,
it.
And so it means anybody that's got a copy of the
art. You better beware.
It could be in for a shock.
The man Ferrari, is coming for you.
Because the Ferrari police are in town.
Well, congratulations, Vic.
Yeah, guys, that's all we've got time for, unfortunately.
Yeah, thanks.
We could talk for hours about it.
I would just like to say that Concours SA is really worth visiting.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
The event has really matured nicely. Mm. And, from my point of view, I feel sorry for the guys that didn't make it, but in the beginning we didn't get voted the best. It's something that you become better at. It's like any competition, you know. The more you practice, the more you get better at it.
Yeah.
The better it gets. And then, of course, we've got a fabulous team, you know, Gerard and his friend Chris. Now, you know, you need a cleaner, eh? And Chris can clean.
Oh, really? Yeah, we'll borrow him. Yeah.
If there's a dirty windscreen, you lose the Concours. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Really?
So they wind the window down, and if there's like a line on top where the window's at, and you clean the round, it's your window's.
So you use your son and his mate.
Gerard, my brother.
Oh, your brother.
Yeah. So you need to go with a good team.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us. We're going to let you hit the road in your Dino, which you bravely drove here.
Thank you for bringing
lucky
it.
Kudos for y'all. Which was amazing. And we're going to take a quick break.
Thanks. Ciao.
Join me, Paul Ash, in a beautiful soundscape as we explore the world in the Sunday Times Travel Podcast. Find it at sundaytimes.co.za.
Welcome back to Gargumentative. Guys, that was a pretty cool interview with Vic. That car is mind-blowing, actually.
Yeah, I know that you're not a Ferrari in inverted commas, but it's not a Ferrari.
Like Dino Rosso, Toro Rosso, Rosso Red. I don't know what the difference is.
That thing speaks for itself. It's beautiful.
It is. If you like old cars and classics, so that thing is just...
1971 246 GT Dino.
And a great smell. Mm. It had this nice aroma when it was parked there.
It did.
Almost like a Porsche. Almost.
Almost. Not quite as good.
Not quite as good.
Not enough oil. Yeah.
I don't know, guys.
You don't know.
What do you
it's
know?
It's a really special car.
It is special. It's really great. So Mike had actually asked us, he sent a list, he sends his apologies as usual, he can't be here.
No, of course.
But he sent a list of all these questions that he wanted, and we just decided not to ask them. So
I think that's a good call.
Sorry, Mike.
Yeah, I flicked past. I got bored after the second one.
I don't know, to some sort of CrossFit analogy. Yeah.
It's always CrossFit if analogies.
If this car was a CrossFitter, which box would it be in?
Yeah, if you parked this car outside a gym, would people? Yeah, no.
If they were promo girls.
Yeah, the answer is always tequila. Always tequila.
Always.
If you were a promo girl and you had a choice between a Diablo with its doors up and a Dino that just won concourse, which would you choose?
With something else up.
Which would you choose? All right, enough about Mark. Yeah. Let's, Nadav, you got a bit of a rant for us.
Yeah, you do have a rant.
It's a reluctant rant. Yeah. I went into a pretty big dealership for a pretty big brand this week, wanting to look at a new car that they've released.
A pretty big deal car.
A lot of hype about it. It's a sports car. And I must say, I was a little bit disappointed.
With the car?
Not at all. So if we get to it, well, some other later stage. I was pleasantly surprised with the car. This was a car that's been controversial in the studio previously.
I told you guys.
Just from this conversation, people know exactly what I'm talking about,
but we'll leave it at that. And I just, you know.
Is this a South African dealer thing?
I'm worried. You know, times are tough. They really are. You know, we've gone through a real financial downturn. People, even normal cars are not selling, you know. The property market's down. You know, everyone's complaining.
It's tough out.
Now you've made the decision to invest in bringing a whole new sports car line to South Africa, and you failed to sell it. So I walked into the dealership, and there it is. It was on the floor, and there was no one to be found.
And you played with it, and you sat in it, and opened doors.
So I walked around it.
Yeah.
And I thought, all right, well, maybe someone will approach me. Then no one did, so I got brave and I started opening doors and popping the bonnet. And then I got braver and I decided, I'm going to climb in. And then I started pushing buttons, and then I decided to adjust the driving position for myself to see if it's comfortable. I mean, I turned on the radio.
Was it like that time where you started a car on the dealer floor?
It's funny you should ask. So I was looking at the start button, and I thought of exactly that time when I by mistake started.
You should have done it, and actually done donuts.
Yeah.
And probably still nothing would have happened.
I could have probably driven it away.
Yeah.
Not a single person in 20 minutes approached me to ask whether I was interested in buying their 1.2 million rand sports car. I thought,
so it's 1.2 million rand. Thomas loves it. Yuck. It's controversial.
Okay. Guys, you know,
if only there was another dealership you could go to drive a similar car.
There must be. There's one in every small town.
So that's true. You know, maybe the experience, you know, I don't want to generalize, and maybe the experience was only that dealership, and after that they did make up for it, and they were apologetic. But I just, you know, if any dealers are out there and
producer Paige says it. She says it's because of your piercing.
Oh, that they didn't want to talk to me. Maybe she's right. Well,
did you have your tattoos?
Maybe they were judging me. I understand that. Maybe they didn't. But in that case, if they thought that I was never gonna come close to buy the car.
But didn't you arrive there with a nice car?
Yeah, I did, but
what
that
car
also
you
shouldn't
driving?
Matter.
A Mondeo.
I drove a 911 there, but that's not the point. It shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter what you came in.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't see it. It doesn't matter, you know. But the point is, you're a customer, and whether you've saved your entire life to buy that car, or whether you can afford it at the drop of a hat, they don't know.
Yep.
But it doesn't make you any less or more of a customer. And people are complaining, and dealerships are complaining, and brands are complaining about South African economy. Guys, if any dealerships or dealer principals or salesmen are just remember, make that extra effort.
Yeah.
You know,
my advice has always been, the average businessman or someone who's got the money to buy your car only really has the opportunity to buy that, I think, on the weekend. Why close midday on a Saturday?
Also
be open
true.
The whole of Saturday. Open late on a Monday.
Yeah.
Who buys cars on a Monday?
No one.
Honestly, like, think
right.
about your...
We're
talking about the sales division specifically.
Yeah. We can't get to you because we're trying to do our job so that we can afford the stuff
exactly.
that you sell.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. You know, different operating hours, treat every customer like they're a potential buyer. Yeah.
And even if they don't buy a car now, you've sowed a seed for the future.
Yeah, and you'll go back to the dealership, you know, with money in hand.
It's not hard. Like, you see somebody, he's looking at a car, you go up, "Hi, sir, how are you doing? Would you like a cup of coffee? Would you like a brochure? What are you looking at here? This is very good, but around the corner we've got something else which you might, you know."
Yeah, the person has taken the trouble to walk into a car dealership.
"I've taken time out of my day to come and see you. You've got a product that, to be fair, doesn't exactly sell itself.
Yep.
This brand at 1.2 million is uncharted territory at the moment. I'm not
sure. Still don't know what he's talking
about. It's great value for money, though, if you compare it to its...
It's going to need a little bit of selling. It's going to need a little bit of pushing. And I just think that, you know, it doesn't matter what level you're talking about. If you're talking about entry level or hypercar, every customer counts. Please, guys, if you're listening, you know, don't complain at the end of the month if you haven't done absolutely everything to secure that sale.
And the same can also be said for the used car market. If you you currently have a car on Gumtree or Auto Trader or whatever, you know, you're going to have to sell it. Make sure it's clean. Make sure you're easily accessible. You answer your phone. You reply to messages. Yeah. Don't complain about the market if you're not trying very hard.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
I mean, it's a senseless rant, but it's one in any case.
Yeah, we need to have it.
I inquired about a second-hand car today, and the guy said, "Give me your number. I'll WhatsApp you some photographs, some extra photographs."
And did he?
No, not yet. But that was after business hours.
But it was probably the wrong car. That's why.
You know what? This has inspired me. Let's make a deal that we'll do a segment on good sales experiences that we've had.
Yeah.
It's not fair to be to end in a negative camera. Note.
What?
Fisheye camera and shirt buttons. Like Isabel Jones.
No, it's Devi from Blanche. We take Devi. Yeah. I actually asked an interesting question, though, that can Devi actually go shopping? Imagine Devi from Carte Blanche walks into your shop.
Yeah.
Like, you ran.
Oh, my God.
Everyone just ran.
I'm not going to say it.
Well, there you go. There was a constructive rant. Dealerships, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are, take note.
Or don't. Depends if you want to sell cars.
And carry on whinging.
Yeah.
Cool, guys. Thanks again for tuning in to Cargumentative, and we'll be back in the studio next week.
Ciao.
Cheers.
Please, God.